Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, and today the 35th Irish Fest opens on the Summerfest grounds in Milwaukee. Here's one of the bands joining us now, playing live for us in our Milwaukee studio, full set with Ramsey's Reel.
One, two,
I think you're going to be the best band I'm going to hear all weekend long. You are wonderful. Irish Fest starts tonight on the Summerfest grounds in Milwaukee, and it continues through Sunday. It is the largest Celtic music festival in the world now. And as I said, this is its 35th year. I think I've been to every single one of them. And we always do an Irish Fest show. Today happens to be the day. We will hear again from our band joining us in our studio full set, and we'll hear them talk about their instruments and the music they're playing in just a little while, and they'll entertain us during the course of this hour. Linda Clark-Klibowitz is with us, Vice President of Milwaukee Irish Fest. We'll start with Linda. We're also going to be speaking with a gentleman who's written many, many books tracing his ancestors and his wife's ancestors, and many of you I know genealogy, and you can learn history that way, so he has some fascinating tales to tell about people leaving Ireland and the hardship they went through to get here and what they lived through once they got here. Full set will entertain us, and we'll talk about all of this. Irish Fest is a combination of incredible musical acts, genealogy, literary corner, a cultural village. This is the 150th birthday of Yeats, so we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the dogs, which is always the first place I go, and so we have a lot on the plate, and we'll welcome phone calls. We can do that. If you've been to Irish Fest or are welcoming certain things, please call us. 800-486-8655 is our number, 800-486-8655. Hello, Linda.
Hello, Kathleen.
35 years.
35.
I remember the first one.
Me too. I was there.
Were you? Yeah.
I was. I've been volunteering with Irish Fest since the very beginning with my parents.
Mm. So has it really become the largest Irish music festival and literary festival in the world at this point?
It has. It has. We have 100 entertainers on 17 stages.
Wow. And are you featuring, each year you feature either Northern Ireland or you feature a part of Ireland or a part of Canada for that matter? Are you featuring something special this year?
This year, our 35th anniversary is Living Tradition, so we have a lot of our entertainers, our traditional musicians, coming in, including Full Set, who is here with us today.
Oh, they are good. Aren't they good?
They are fantastic. They actually are the Irish Music Awards 2014 winners.
Wonderful. I can see why. And we've only heard a little bit of what they're playing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Tell me how it got started, the history of this, and why it has become as huge as it is now, Linda.
Well, our founder is Ed Ward, and he started it 35 years ago. It started talking about what we could do to celebrate our Irish culture here in the Milwaukee area. And so they started with a little seed money back in 1981, and it's grown to where it is today.
Mm-hmm. And you draw people from all over.
All over.
Other countries,
absolutely. We kind of keep track of it as they come in and buy their raffle tickets and inquire as to where they're coming from. But we have many countries, and usually every 50 states represented here.
Yeah. I have been to Ireland many times, but every time I go to Ireland, I went to the tiny littlest part of Donegal in the middle of nowhere, and the guy I ran into's son had played music at Irish Fest in Milwaukee. It is so well known in Ireland.
Right. We are very well received when we go there, and we tell them we're with Milwaukee Irish Fest.
Yeah. So tell me about the Irish tradition a little bit. We were talking about music, and there are some wonderful musicians. There's also an incredibly rich, strong literary heritage.
Yes, we, as you mentioned, we're celebrating William Butler Yeats's 150th birthday. Next year is the 100th anniversary of the 1916 Easter Rising. Mm-hmm. So this year we do have the women of Ireland and their role in that uprising. And we do have an author who is going to be speaking to that, author Mary Pat Kelly, who is going to be here to highlight her new book, Of Irish Blood.
Mm. So give us, we'll weave you back into the conversation. Give us just the dates again. It opens today, this afternoon, right?
It opens today. You can get in free all day if you bring in school supplies. Tomorrow is our $5 Friday. And then on Sunday, prior to 11 a.m., if you bring non-perishable food items, you will get in for free as well.
Great. And there's also a wonderful tradition at the end where all of the musicians get together and play.
The scattering.
You can stay up late Sunday.
The scattering is my favorite part of
the festival.
Yes. So all the entertainers who have been on the grounds join us on stage. They start with the musicians, and then they go to the singers, and that kicks us off and finishes the festival in just such a wonderful way.
Yeah. You've heard from some musicians. Eamon, I'll ask you to grab a microphone here for a moment because there is so much beautiful music, and your band is terrific. Congratulations on the award. Tell me just a little bit about how you were formed and some of the unusual instruments that you play and that other people in your band play.
Yeah, so myself and two other members of the group, we were, as teenagers, we used to play music together in Tipperary, where I'm from. And every summer we used to play music, and then it was a lot of fun, and we just thought, oh, it might be great to kind of do our own thing and start our own band. And we did that then, and I was in college with Martino here. He's on the pipes, and Andy then we knew through other musicians, and slowly but surely then we formed a band. And for the first couple of years, it was just very much a fun thing to do. Like every summer, we'd get together and play a few gigs and just have a lot of fun. And then we thought, oh, maybe we can do this full time, make a profession out of it. And then 2011, we released our first album, and since then we've been touring full time and full time professional musicians. So we've been very lucky, and it's been going great. Mm. Yeah, having a great time.
So are there a number of young Irish musicians who are playing traditional Irish music?
Yeah, it's absolutely huge.
Yeah, really? Why?
It's just I don't know, there's something about Irish music. It's very inclusive. It's very when people play it, they nearly invite other people to play with them, and everyone can kind of join in. Even if you hear music, Irish music for the first time, it kind of captures your heart a bit, and people get into it and very lively, and they want to dance to it, and it's just huge. It's very popular, and even back in Ireland this weekend, there's a massive festival called the All-Ireland Fleadh Ceoil, which celebrates Irish music, and it has competitions ranging from the ages of like under 12 all the way up to senior competitions, and the standard of the music is just unbelievable. It's better now than it's ever been, so it's getting stronger and stronger every year. And the Milwaukee Irish Fest is a huge part of that as well, just growing and growing, and kind of like promoting Irish music and everything, so it's great. Yeah.
Have you played here before?
This is our very first time.
Yay! Thank you for arriving. Welcome.
Yeah, we're so excited because anytime we've come to America, people have asked us, because it's such a big festival, and people have asked us like, "Oh, you're going to Milwaukee?" And when it finally came about that we could come to Milwaukee, we were delighted, and we're absolutely over the moon to be here and really looking forward to tonight.
Oh, you're going to have a great time. Yeah. Introduce your band members, will you please?
Okay, and then, I will. I'll go around the room.
Thank you.
So, the most importantly is myself. No, I'm joking. So, beside me here, to my left, is our singer and flute player, Marianne Knight, all the way from County Mayo.
Huh?
And then we have another Mayo native here on the fiddle, Karen Hickey. Beside her, then, we have on button accordion, Derek Morrissey. And then on guitar, we have Andy Meaney, all the way from County Dublin. And then our unusual member, just because he's actually not from Ireland. And it's his birthday today, actually.
It's his birthday! Happy birthday to you.
That's great. So, Martino, myself and Martino studied music together back in the University of Limerick. And Martino's actually originally from Italy, but lived in Ireland for 8 years. And he's playing one of Ireland's oldest traditional instruments, which is the Uilleann pipes. Which is kind of a bit... funny, I suppose, as well, that the only foreigner in the band is playing the most traditional Irish instrument. He's playing the Uilleann pipes, and what I'm playing myself as well is the baron, which is also an exclusive instrument to the Irish music culture. And yeah, it's another traditional instrument that hopefully you all enjoy.
And you play the flute too, don't you?
I play the flute as well, yeah. I play the flute. When we studied music together in college, they were my two main instruments, and so still playing those away. And I also do Irish dancing, which is a...
Oh, you do?
I do, yeah. And Marianne as well. Marianne she was a champion Irish dancer back
really?
In the day. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, so
wonderful.
we incorporate that into our gigs as well. So maybe I shouldn't have said anything. That's supposed to be a surprise, I think, today. But
I'm sorry, you told a few things. It's no longer.
Yeah, don't tell
secret.
Anybody else.
Yeah. Well, you play. We want to meet David too, but we'll play something. Tell me what you're going to play.
Yeah,
play something else for us, and then we're going to go into the rich literary history, and then we'll go everywhere.
Perfect. So we'll do a tune here that's from a set that we play called Up and About, and it was featured on our second album called Notes After Dark. Hey. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Wonderful. You'll play for us again. David Quinn is also with us. We have, David said as he came into the studio, he said there are as many people in the studio as there were on stage for the Republican presidential debate last week, which is true. We have a studio filled with people, and it's great. David is representing the literary Irish tradition, and it is very strong. He's written a number of books. His latest is Steel Shamrocks, The Sons of Annie McKenna. A Journey of the Heart. It's really a tribute to his wife's ancestors. David has written other books about his ancestors. He and his wife, Elizabeth, have 3 children and 5 grandchildren. They live in Maryland now. He worked in telecommunications for 30 years, but at one point he decided, I'm going to follow what my heart wants me to do, and that was to study more genealogy and then write history about that genealogy, which is what a lot of people do, and Irish people do that a lot. It's great. David, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Kathleen. It's grand being here. And, you know, it's interesting that I started out with the genealogy interest, but I quickly found out that most people don't want to hear about your genealogy unless you got a story that goes with it. And so when I discovered some interesting characters in our family tree, I thought it would be good to capture the story about them for my kids and grandkids. So that's the way I started out. And well, after you spend 5 years researching and writing a book, you like to see if the public would enjoy it as well.
Right. And the stories are incredible, aren't they? Because frequently we think about our ancestors who came here. Mine came because of the famine, and was a young 16-year-old traveling across, you know, on a ship by himself to come to America. And you start, I believe, with your wife's, was it great-great-grandfather, would it be? Or great-great-great-grandfather who came here with 11 children?
Yes.
11 children.
He was a widowed farmer from County Tyrone. And he had 11 children. Now, not all of the children came with him because he had a few daughters that were already married and settled in Tyrone. But the party of 9, the patriarch and his 6 sons, and the eldest son, his wife, and infant child, left Ireland in 1830 and took a timber ship to Canada's Quebec port. And from there, walked the 1,200 miles to Pittsburgh. Yes. And, of course, in 1830, there was no road network, so they ended up walking the towpath of the Erie Canal and finally got to Pittsburgh, where they settled.
And then you trace what happened to all of them, because there's a troubled history and a proud history of what happens to the Irish once they reach America.
Yeah, it is grand. And, you know, it's the normal rags to riches kind of a story, really, because shortly after arriving in America, Annie, the matriarch, she lost her husband suddenly. And so there she was with five children to raise, and she was running a boarding house in the center of the what we now know as the Golden Triangle in Pittsburgh. And she had two sons who were particularly fascinating in terms of their upward rising. The first was her great-grandfather. His name was Bernard McKenna, but he was known as Barney. And he started out as he went to school for the eighth grade, but then he became an iron molder, and he worked in the foundries and so forth, making the parts for wood-burning stoves and such. And then he became a volunteer fireman, and that kind of got him connected politically with people. He ran for alderman, became an alderman, which was kind of like a justice of the peace. And finally, he ends up becoming the first Irish American mayor of Pittsburgh in the 1890s. Yes, he was just a very special man. He was a longtime informal leader of the Democratic Party in Pittsburgh, and they used to get together in the evening on the steps of an office building downtown and just sit around and talk politics. And that group continues to today. It's called the Amen Corner, and it's been illustrious for all of the big politicians who have either been members or who have spoken to that group. So he's quite fascinating, but he's richly rivaled by his younger brother, Charles McKenna, who as a 17-year-old boy went off to war from the Civil War as a Pennsylvania volunteer. And he was an artist, a cartoonist, you might say. And so he drew sketches of all these scenes that he saw throughout the war. Many of these sketches are in the book itself. But he comes back to Pittsburgh after the war is over, having been all the way from Antietam to Appomattox for Lee's surrender. Comes back and studies law, becomes a distinguished lawyer, and ultimately a federal judge. Mm. So it's quite fascinating. If we have time, there's a very humorous story about Charles. As he entered as a volunteer in the Union Army, they didn't give him much training, and so he was kind of doing all the wrong things, so to speak. Very awkward guy, forgetting to salute his officers and so forth. And but there was a colonel in one of the regiments who had his horse stolen, and Charles issued him a new replacement horse. But he wasn't supposed to do that, because in the volunteer regiments, the officers bring their own horse. And so the colonel is brought up on charges. But Charles comes in with his signed receipt, and he gets the guy off. And so 40 years later, that colonel is the senior senator from the state of Pennsylvania.
Oh, my gosh.
A Republican, and Charles is a Democrat. And Theodore Roosevelt has nominated Charles to the federal bench. But Senator Quay says, no, over my dead body. He actually goes down and tells Teddy Roosevelt that it's not going to happen. Well, all of the veterans of Charles's regiment begin a letter-writing campaign. And they turn Senator Quay around, and he finally gets his federal bench position.
This is why you study family histories, for stories like that. When you're talking about politics, I'm thinking about, it must be an Irish thing, it's other groups as well, but to me, an idea of a perfect night would be to listen to some great music and sit around and talk with a group of friends about politics, and for endlessly, you know. I mean, I absolutely love doing that. Is there something kind of, I mean, there is, when you look at the Irish who have succeeded in political life in America, Linda, there are a huge number of Irish, you know, they went into politics. They went into the railroad. They went into certain welding, et cetera. But in the political world, they really shone. Why, do you think?
Oh, I think it's their family history, where they came from, the experiences that they had, and how they really wanted to make this country better. Mm-hmm. So I think that has a lot to do with that.
Mm-hmm. And it's also true, Eamon, look, you grab the microphone for a moment, too. It's true in Ireland. When you visit Ireland, people love to talk about politics, and they really know what's going on in America. There is something, people are engaged in the political process in a large way. Am I making too much of that, or is that true?
No, I think that would be accurate enough. And I think with politics in America as well, we'd kind of have our finger to the pulse of it a lot of the time, because it's broadcast a lot in our media as well, and we'd follow it closely, and it's a bit more dramatic maybe than the Irish politics. Is a lot more, I don't know. So it's a bit more exciting maybe sometimes. And we'd all be kind of interested in it, and we're kind of at the age now where we're interested in our future. And as we were saying, two of the members of the band have just had a kid, so you're kind of getting to that stage where you're thinking about your kid's future and all that.
Yes.
As well. So you want to be involved in politics and just try to make the country, I suppose, the best that it can be. And the only way you can do that is be involved in politics. And yeah.
Right. Yeah. We need to pause for a moment, but if you would take us into the pause.
We'd love to.
Thank you very much. With another one of your wonderful tunes.
Okay. One, two, three, four.
Nice. What was that?
That was a polka from a set called Yannick's Gavotte.
Nice.
And yeah, all the way from Ireland.
You are all the way from Ireland. Yeah. First time in Milwaukee. Full set. They will, one of the, how many groups, Linda, will be at Irish Fest?
We have 100 acts.
Wow. One of 100 performing traditional music, rock music. It's a terrific music festival. We'll continue here on the Ideas Network. Irish Fest is opening today on the Summerfest grounds, and it runs through Sunday, and the sun, of course, will shine, and the music will be there, and poetry, and plays, and it's a... I know I'm Irish, and I'm happy to be Irish, but it is really, if you're not Irish, too, I know I have a lot of friends who are not Irish who go to this, because it's a terrific festival. It's very well done, and they have the most beautiful dogs in the whole world. I like the dogs. I always go, first thing, I go right for the dogs, the wolfhounds. Yeah. You know, they are beautiful. We welcome phone calls, too. I'm sure that you may have questions about Irish Fest, or many of you, like many of us, have been there year after year after year. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Also, our Facebook page, if you can write your memories of Irish Fest, or what you'll look forward to, is the Kathleen Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking about Irish Fest, which opens today on the Summerfest grounds here in Milwaukee. We have several guests with us, the vice president of Irish Fest. We have a person who's done a great historical work based on his genealogy and his wife's genealogy. We'll talk more about that process and how you can find out about your past and write a history. And Full Set is also joining us here for the first time in Milwaukee and first time at Irish Fest, of course. They play Irish traditional music. They are an award-winning group, and you're going to play a little longer piece for us now, and why don't you tell us what it is?
We'll do a full set for you now this time. And this one is called Glen Road to Carrick. It's a set of tunes that we've recorded a video for on YouTube, and it's got quite a good few hits, and it was the first track off our second album, Notes After Dark.
Okay.
So take it away, guys. Thank you.
nice. Congratulations. Very nice. Tell me just a little bit more about the instruments. I can't imagine being able to play the fiddle like that. You think about all the young people who are learning fiddles, and it, you know, you got to kind of close your ears and say, honey, it sounds pretty good. And then to develop, to be able to play like that, and the pipes, the own pipes, too. And how do you pronounce it? Is the baron? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah. It's called the baron, yeah.
Baron.
Baron, yeah. So I suppose we all started quite young. And for some of us, there's Irish music in our families, which kind of, I suppose, have helped with it. From a young age, we would have had a good understanding of Irish music. Like Karen here, her father plays, and same with Martino, his dad plays. And I have a couple of cousins who play, but I think mainly I was just sent to music maybe because I have five brothers and sisters, so my parents wanted a break, so they just sent us off.
Get a break
in the house. But yeah, so that's a big part of it. And with the pipes, it's if you could see it, people at home, it's quite a complicated looking instrument.
Yeah, we'll have Scotty take a picture. If you can take a picture of the pipes, we'll put it on Facebook. It looks very complicated. It really does.
But funnily enough, it's quite easy. No, I'm joking. It's very hard as well. But it's yeah, so like when we were all younger, a lot of us anyway, we would have started on the tin whistle, which is...
Did you?
Yeah. Just because I think, and one of the main reasons is because it would be one of the cheaper instruments to buy. So if it was something that you enjoyed, then you could progress onto other instruments. And it's a good foundation to get to know the tunes and the music. And then before, I suppose, our parents invested a lot of money into the instruments, because some of these instruments, especially the pipes, the fiddle, the accordion, all of them actually, in fact, they're all worth thousands of euro.
You don't say that.
But, please don't take them out. But yeah, they're so it is. It's a big investment to make for a parent. But obviously, the better instrument you have, the better your music will be. Then so, and as well, there's a lot of hard work and practice. That
goes a lot of hard work.
Yeah, from a young age as well. That's, I suppose, how we came
thank
to
you.
The
we'll take a picture of some of the instruments, really, and put them on Facebook right after the show. David, back to you for a moment. When I was thinking about all the research, and you must have spent a long time researching not only your family, but your wife's family. It points to, I know there's a genealogy section at Irish Fest. Linda, you can tell us more about it. But there is something to be said about learning history from delving into what your past is, that you'll find some stories that I'm sure astounded you.
Yes. It really is quite an adventure. Of course, when I began exploring my genealogy, it was the days before the internet. In 1982, my wife and I made our first visit to Ireland, and we were crawling around graveyards and sitting in front of a microfiche machine at the National Library. That's how it had to be done in those days. Nowadays, you can get on the internet and you can find a wealth of information, But there are just some amazing stories. I'll just give one example. My wife Betsy's great-grandfather, Barney McKenna, when he was an alderman, there was a workers' riot in Pittsburgh and actually in a number of cities throughout the eastern part of the United States against the railroads, because they had implemented an arbitrary reduction in people's pay of 25%, and they also got rid of a lot of workers. So there was a work stoppage there at the Pennsylvania Railroad, and they called out the militia, and unfortunately the militia from Philadelphia arrived, and they were all too willing to open fire on the workers, which they did, and it just triggered this huge riot. And so quickly the rioters put a torch to the Pennsylvania Railroad yards and the cars and the terminal and hotel and so forth. So it's all ablaze. And so Barney goes out there as a former fireman himself and has to talk to the strikers and the rioters to say, there's other properties that don't have anything to do with the railroad that are right nearby, and we'd like to save those. Would you let us do that? Because previously they were taking an axe to the fire hoses and shooting and so forth. So, it was one of the real elements of bravery on his part to kind of face these people down and try and save as much property and life as he could.
Yeah. And if you want, you can have, your family history may not be as dramatic as what David just told us, but you can have that done at Irish Fest too, can't you, Linda?
You can. We do have a genealogy tent that is volunteers that's what they spend all year doing, and they share, as David mentioned, it was prior to you didn't have the internet, and now you have a lot more resources, and they're willing to share that because sometimes you run into roadblocks and they'll help you, you know, go in a different direction that maybe you weren't aware of. So they're very fascinating, very dedicated individuals who work in that tent.
And tell us a bit more about the Cultural Center, because I know there are plays going on. Lynn called and wants to know if there are going to be poetry readings. She has a favorite Irish poet. Will there be poetry readings of Yeats? Are you doing plays? What's happening in the cultural area?
Yeah, there is a whole celebration that's going to be happening in the cultural village with Yeats's birthday. We also we have a theater tent where they're going to show several different films. One is about the history of St. Patrick. There is Irish language, so you can learn how to say things in Irish language. We have a harp school, a harp tent, so they play different harps, which is just beautiful music. Mm-hmm. Our hedge school, where you can hear different talks from a variety of different speakers, which is really great. And then, of course, the literary corner. And this year we also have an author who's here to work in the children's area who is going to share some stories with them as well. And then the kids are all going to have tea. We're going to have a tea time for them as well.
Tea time?
Tea time.
Oh, very nice. Do any of you speak Gaelic?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Let's hear a little bit. Grab a microphone. No, come on.
What would you like to say? Well, like, we all studied it in school, and then...
Did you?
Yeah, it's compulsory in Ireland to learn Irish, but up until you're 17. But we're hoping that, like, maybe there'll be more emphasis on the speaking side of it in the exams and stuff, just to get people more fluent. But there's sections of Ireland where Irish would be the first language. So I'm not sure what you want me to say in Irish.
What should we have him say? Linda,
hello?
What do you want to say?
Okay.
How about welcome to Milwaukee Irish Fest?
Portugal, Milwaukee, Féile Éireann.
Féile Éireann?
Yeah, Irish Festival.
Could you say that again? I mean, the whole thing again.
Also, Fáilte, Good Day, Milwaukee, Féile Éireann. Something like that. I hope that's right. I'm under pressure now. I'm sweating.
I sure wouldn't know.
My palms are sweating. or like just to say your name is just Eamon Isanam Dum. You just Eamon is my name. Or if you say thank you is Garv Mila Mahagut, it means a thousand thank yous. But that's
thousand
what we say.
Thank yous. That's
and
right.
For like if you say if you're welcoming people, it's like Fáilte Rót or Cage Mila Fáilte would be like 100,000 welcomes would be that's the way to sing for your welcome to people
right.
In Irish. Yeah. So that's the Irish language.
I think you speak it pretty well, don't you?
Oh, Garmina Margaret.
We need to pause for a moment and we'll return. Irish Fest opens, well, it's open for us now, but it's opening officially on the Summerfest grounds today in Milwaukee, and it runs through Sunday. If you've never been, where have you been? It's 35 years old this year, so it's time to go. But it's really a wonderful festival of music and poetry and plays, and it's just great. We're going to hear more music. Why we have to pause for a moment. Do you want to, Full Set, take us into our pause and let us know what we're going to hear? And
yeah, we'll play a tune called The Humours of Tulla, which is a reel. I will just give it a quick blast. It's just a common reel in Ireland.
Okay.
Ready? One, two, three, four.
How do you say thank you?
Garv Mahagut.
Say it again. What?
Garv Mahagut.
Okay, I'll just let you say it. Thank you. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I know that there are going to be several events going on next year in Wisconsin, and certainly Ireland will mark the 100th anniversary of the uprising of 1916. David, could you tell us a little bit about that, how important it was, and how some of the great tragedies that Irish people experienced that resulted in mass migration to the United States and other places is related to why there was such an uprising?
Yes, I can. Well, the 19th century was a particularly difficult time for the Irish people. Not only was there this famous food famine, you know, in the 1840s and really lasting for some time thereafter, but also there was an economic revolution that went on in the whole area of agriculture as the tenant farmers, the people who were planting potatoes and just getting by on the edge, were being displaced as their landlords converted tillage to pasturage because it was more profitable for them to raise cattle and sheep and so forth. So during the Great Hunger of the 1840s, there was a lot of food that was being produced in Ireland. Yes, they lost the potato crops, but there was wheat and barley and livestock and so forth. And it was all being shipped out of the country to Britain and other ports. And, you know, we like sometimes to paint the British as the Simon Legrees of the world, you know. But actually, there were many Irish merchants and brokers who were happy to go to that highest bidder for that food, you know. So anyway, it has been a difficult history for the Irish, and you know, the loss of family to immigration was huge. I mean, in the county of Roscommon, they where my family came from, they lost fully a third of the population. Mm. During that time, half to death and half to immigration. Hmm. So one of the real tragedies of that time is caught beautifully in the song called Kathleen Mavourneen, where a young man who's forced to leave Ireland sings to his girlfriend, you know, it may be for years or it may be forever. You know, he just doesn't know, and so that pain of parting with family and lovers and so forth is a terrible edge to the
right.
Whole experience.
It's so dominant a strain in Irish music too, isn't it? There's so much of that. It just makes you cry. You feel like crying a lot.
Yeah, but think about it this way: those tragedies spread the Irish culture, the Irish gift for the gab, the music, the literature, and so forth, throughout the world,
right.
Not just to America, but to Australia, New Zealand, all these countries that now have very significant Irish heritage, and you know, they've made great contributions to those societies. So in a way, we've been richly blessed, as well as having to acknowledge that it was a painful transition.
Yeah. Has anybody in your family left, Damon?
Well, yeah, I recently only found out, actually, I think it was a year or two ago, my great-grandfather and his brother, they immigrated away from Ireland and they came to New York.
Oh.
And they set up a pub there. But then my great-grandfather, he moved back to Ireland, actually.
Really?
And my great-granduncle, he stayed. And until, I think it was only a year ago, I hadn't met any of these of his descendants, so they would be my relations in America. But as we were talking about the internet now, it becomes a lot easier for people to kind of connect with other people and to find out more about their family history. And it was true. We were doing a concert in Philadelphia, and we got a message on our Facebook page from this lady who didn't have a very Irish name. Her name was Sue Zurich, and she said, "Oh, hi, Eamon. I think that we might be related." Yeah, and she said, I got in touch with another person who is a relation of mine. She said she's related to, anyway, so on and so forth. And she said, "We'd love to come hear your concert, and you're playing in Philadelphia this Saturday." So I was like, "Yeah, that's great. Come along and meet you," but kind of skeptical at the same time. And then she arrived on the Saturday, and she looked exactly like my grandmother.
Oh, my gosh.
Aunts, it was very strange, yeah. And she gave me a present as well, so I loved it. And I was like, "Yeah, it's great." But yeah, so it's very strange. But it is, it's very nice to make those connections as well. And
yes.
So that was great, yeah. So yeah, so now I think I've somewhere to stay in Philadelphia if I ever need it.
yeah, those connections are good. Are you going to play something for us? And we want to hear some singing too.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll introduce Marianne. Mm. Come on up to the microphone, Marianne.
Hi, Marianne.
Thank you. Hi, how are you?
Hi, fine. How are you?
I'm great.
Good. So you sing.
It's great to be here. I sing, yes. That's yeah. So they tell me.
Where are you from?
I'm from County Mayo and in the west coast of Ireland. And yeah, it's a lovely place. But I was born actually in Manchester in the United Kingdom. My parents would have emigrated in the 70s. So a different generation of Ireland that left and went to England. And met and sort of fell in love in the Irish communities over there. So equally as strong, I think, as America. But I just wanted to say, when I was listening to David talking about genealogy, my grand aunt, she was actually my granddad's sister, she married a guy from Kokomo, I think. Is that Wisconsin or Indiana? Anyway, they met and married in Milwaukee. And they had six children, and May Adams, she is May Cox, she's going to come to this festival, and she's been coming every year since the start of it. And I think rumour has it my mother, who just flew in from Ireland actually this week to be with me and to see the festival as well, said that she was part of part of the committee that helped set it up. So she's going to be here again, and she won't like me giving away her age, but she's as she says, she's a vintage Irish lady. And she's going to be here in her green regalia and flying the flag, and she's a very proud woman. So if it wasn't, as David said, for the people that left Ireland and came to America, maybe we and the likes of us fortunate musicians wouldn't be here at all. So we thank them very much. And so every cloud has a silver lining, as they say. So speaking about clouds and moons, and a lot of the songs, as you said, Kathleen, in the folk tradition are very sad. But we managed to find a folk song that is kind of quirky and happy. And it's about human people focusing on the bright side of life. And this is the song called The Bright Side of the Moon. Mm. So we hope you enjoy it. And it's on our third album, which is a shameless plug.
It's fine.
One we had to get in. So here we go. People lost in an endless wheel. I've heard the cries of a newborn baby. Oh,
Lovely. Thank you very much. Very, very nice. I look forward to hearing more from you. Full set. They will be at Irish Fest. David, are you going to have a certain time you're going to be there so people can talk to you about your books?
I'll be there until they throw me out. So.
That's what happens at Irish Fest. They're there until you get thrown out. All right, so you'll be in the literary cultural area?
Yeah, the literary corner. And,
okay.
There'll be another number of other authors there, but we'll be there to engage the people and talk
Great.
About our books and sign what they buy. Yeah.
Wonderful. Great. And it opens, give us again all the information, the tickets, the good deals that people can get.
Today, from 5 to 10, if you bring in school supplies, you get in for free. Otherwise, it's $5. Tomorrow, it's $5 Friday from 4 to 5:30. And then on Sunday morning up until 11 a.m., bringing in non-perishable food items will get you into the gate for free.
Great. And there are contests usually, too. I mean, these are kind of fun. Is there still a freckle contest and a red hair contest?
There is a freckle contest, a red hair contest, baking contest, and we do have a poetry contest as well.
Poetry contest.
Poetry contest.
See, I say every year on the air, I used to, one of the very first ones, I used to be one of the judges for the Irish Baking Contest. It was the best job I ever had at Irish Fest, and I haven't been able to do it lately. So maybe there should be a bake-off contest again, and I think you need a judge.
Okay. Don't you think? We'll keep you in mind.
You will?
Top of the list.
Top of the list. Thank you all so much. I can't believe another year has gone by, and here it is again. And the sun is shining. Thank you very much for being with us. You're very talented and funny and gracious, too. Thank you. David, thank you for all of the stories.
My pleasure. And thanks for
thank you, Linda, for all the information and putting us all together.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Our thanks to KP Whaley and to Scotty Myers and Katie Madsen for producing and doing on-air production. I'll be with you again on Monday for all things political. We Irish like to talk politics, so we'll do that again Monday at 1 o'clock. Thanks for listening. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.